Another reminder of Kale. Mr. Fucking Handyman. Fuck the shower. The water was warm and the pressure luxurious, and I decided to take the longest shower I could. I applied a conditioning mask to my hair and shaved my legs. Holding the razor made me think of Kale in front of my mirror and how often he had to shave due to regulations. How hard was it going to be to untangle him completely from my memories? I closed my eyes and let the water spray directly onto my face. I asked the universe, but since it felt like no one was listening anyway, I answered my own question. It would be as easy as throwing away his toothpaste and never going near the post until he was gone. I was done breaking my own rules and would just focus on my job and getting my shit together. I didn't have the time or energy for chasing liars and ACUs around, and this was the end of it. Chapter 61. The shower had helped me feel relaxed enough to take a nap. Sleeping the day away made me feel better, but I still looked like hell. I had fallen asleep with wet hair, and even though the color was more flattering than I had expected, I woke to a frizzy mess. The way I looked now went right along with the mania I felt. I threw on black sweats and a baggy black t-shirt and pinched my cheeks to bring a little color to the surface. I heard Elodie's voice as soon as I stepped into the hallway. If her shift was already over, I must have been asleep for a long time. It sounded like she was hushing someone in conversation, but when I peered around the corner, she was alone in the dark living room with her laptop on her lap. A man's voice was coming through the speaker.
"Don't lie to me,"
he said in an accusatory tone. I thought I heard him wrong, but he said it again. This time his words seemed even more demeaning. I didn't want to intrude, but I was concerned for Elodie.
"Cooper's wife told me that you were over there. His wife tells him everything, unlike mine."
"Philip. Shit." Elodie was crying. I had to hold onto the door handle of the hallway closet to stop myself from butting into the conversation and her business. I didn't know what Philip was talking about, but I knew I didn't like the sound of his voice. I had never seen that side of him or heard it. I couldn't tell if his wife was used to it or not. I immediately wondered if Philip was, like Kale, not what he seemed.
"I'm not lying," she pleaded. "We stopped there for an hour at most. We went to the meetings, then to that house. There weren't any guys around."
My phone in my hand dinged as my brother's name popped up on my screen. I knew Elodie must have heard it, but I tapped my fingers against the wall just in case to let her know I was coming into the room. She perked up and wiped at her tears.
"Philip, Karina's just walked in," she cautioned him.
"Hey, Karina,"
Philip said, his voice nice and friendly, a complete transformation from what it had been. I threw him a bland, "Hey," and walked into the kitchen. My intrusion seemed to stop their conversation. I decided to stay out of the living room and wait for Elodie to finish. Dishes were piling up in the sink. Wet laundry had accumulated in the washing machine, and I opened the dryer to clear it, feeling taunted yet again by Kale as I placed folded clothes in the basket. I couldn't even blame the mess on my emotional despair because the breakup had happened barely 12 hours ago. Elodie signed off Skype and met me in the kitchen as I stood washing the dishes. She didn't seem ready to say anything for a few minutes, and I kept myself busy cleaning up. I gave her a moment to herself as she sat silently at the table. "Everything okay?" I asked eventually. "Is Philip coming home?" She shook her head, and I went to sit down across the table from her. Elodie's eyes were bloodshot. The tip of her nose was red as fire. I didn't want to press her, but she was obviously not okay. She handed my question back to me.
"How are you feeling, Karina?"
"I'm fine. Don't let the hair fool you, Elodie. You know you can talk to me."
"You have your own problems."
She tried to smile. "We've done enough talking about that. I'm here for you, too." She nodded.
"I'm okay. It's only Philip imagining things when he hears the other soldiers talk. Why is there so much drama? Don't they have anything better to do?"
She sniffled and rubbed her nose.
"How are you?"
she asked, reaching a hand across the table. I pretended not to notice as I lowered my hands onto my lap. I'm all right. Just tired, I lied. If she could lie to my face, I could do the same. Chapter 62. I spent the next day working in the morning. I was getting used to the bags under my eyes, but I finally felt a little more alive. I whizzed through my shift, 3 clients, back to back, and got higher tips than expected on all 3. I was feeling pretty good as I walked down the street to my house. The sun was bright, and I felt more energetic than I had for the last couple days. I thought of the many ways I could spend my afternoon off. I tried to remember the things I liked to do before I met Kale. I walked into my bedroom and looked at the stack of books on my dresser. I had read most of them and didn't feel like starting a whole new story, so I decided to grab one of the poetry books I had bought while browsing in a favorite bookstore in Atlanta. Right now, poems suited my mood. The perfect length, room for my own emotions, and I could skip anything that made me think too much. I desperately wanted to distract my brain from reality. It was the perfect temperature outside today, warm enough not to have to wear a jacket, but cool enough that I could wear a long-sleeved shirt and shorts and be comfortable. I pulled my hair up, grabbed a few things, my phone for music, a pillow from the couch, and the poetry book Lost and Found, and headed out to the porch. I sat down on the cool concrete and wished I had a swing. Another item for the one-day list. One day, when I redo the porch, I will make it big enough for a swing. One day. As I skipped from page to page in the book, I felt like every single poem was being read to me in Kale's voice. He was everywhere. He had become everything.
In the hollows under his eyes, I found a map. In the stars that dipped into his cheeks, I found solace. In the bow of his lips, there was truth. In the rise and fall of his chest, I found myself. And if you ever need me, that's where I'll be.
I closed the book and tossed it, watching as it went skidding across the porch. The stars reminded me of Kale, the mention of his dimples, the truth I'd believed from him that wasn't there after all. The feelings were too close, and I wanted these words as far away from me as they could get. I stood up, took a few steps, and kicked the little white paper back, watching it disappear into the patch of weeds next to my porch. Then I felt guilty. It wasn't the poet's fault that my first real connection with someone was so short-lived. I stepped down off the porch to retrieve the book, digging my hand into the stringy weeds that surrounded the concrete slab. They were too long, too unmanageable. Unpredictable vegetation was overgrowing my yard. This little house was what it was. I knew what I was getting when I signed on the dotted line for the basically abandoned house at the end of a commercial strip. It was the only thing in my life that wasn't going to turn out to be something that it wasn't. I began to pull at the weeds in the yard. They were everywhere, the more I looked. I needed a distraction and had the rest of the day to do as I pleased. Minutes went by and I moved on from the weeds to sweep the gravel back into my driveway. I had decided to ignore this week's Tuesday family dinner obligation. No way was I going to deal with that. At first, I thought the dark blue Bronco pulling up to my house was a mirage. The sun was already setting, and I seemed to have lost track of time. My mind was obviously playing tricks on me. I stood up and stared, watching unwaveringly as Kale parked in front of my house in his usual spot. When he got out of his truck, it dawned on me that he was at my house for the first time since the blowout with my dad. I had so much to say, but couldn't think of anything that would help the pain I felt in my bones.
Karina.
His voice danced around me, almost hypnotizing me. I opened my mouth to speak and heard my dad's voice in my head, followed by Kale's, then my dad's again. I couldn't sort out my own thoughts, and I still couldn't make sense of everything that they had said, even though I had replayed it over and over in my mind. I realized that I wasn't prepared to face Kale. Not tonight. I needed at least 100 hours to mentally prepare to see him. "For so many reasons, you can't be here," I told him, just as he reached the grass. My back hurt as I stood there with one hand on my hip and one blocking my eyes from the blazing sun that had nearly set. Why was the sun so bright? Even nature was taunting me at this point. He stopped and looked at me, seeming uncertain what to do next. Still too close. He held out my laptop with an extended arm, and I quickly grabbed it from him. The last bit of me that he could have was now back in my hands.
Karina, can't we talk? I just want to explain myself, he pleaded.
I had barely caught a glimpse of his face, and the emotion in it made me move my hand down to shade my eyes like a coward, so I couldn't see his face. He was staring at me. I could feel it, though I avoided his eyes. He was attempting to register everything I was feeling, absorb it, and read me like a fucking book, and I regretted that I had ever given him this type of access in the first place.
You had the chance to explain yourself and didn't, I said flatly. I didn't mean to hurt you, Karina. You must know that.
The cool condescension in his voice sent me over the edge. I threw my hands in the air. Atlanta! You're kidding, right? He shook his head. Actually, Martin, I don't know anything about you at all. I wanted to hurt him with my words, so I didn't allow myself to filter my thoughts. Everything you've told me seems to be part of a story that I don't know. You've humiliated me like it's some kind of joke that everyone else knows who you are and what you do, but I don't. You may think I'm naive, but you are exactly the kind of person I've tried to stay away from my entire life. You need to leave. You need to go. His eyes went wide as if he were stunned, and the selfish satisfaction I felt from his reaction outweighed the pang of guilt I felt for purposely hurting him. He must have found something in my expression when my eyes finally met his that told him to back off, because he put his hands in the air and turned around and walked away. Chapter 63. When I woke up the next morning, I was even more miserable than I'd been the day before. Would it really get worse every day? For how long? I washed my hair for a while, rubbing my scalp to ease the ache. My neck felt so stiff, my skull so heavy. It wasn't fair that I was made to feel both physical and emotional pain. What sort of god or universe or whatever is up there allows that? It was just cruel. An unfair punishment. I'm not a crier, usually, but I couldn't hold it in last night. And honestly, I'm not sure if it helped or was a waste of time, because I still felt like shit inside, and now my head was pounding, my eyes swollen, my skin blotchy and uneven. The longer I stared at myself in the mirror, the more hesitant I felt about going to work. But Molly's staffing and my bank account were both running short, so staying home wasn't an option. I did what pre-Kale Karina would do and dabbed concealer under my eyes, put my hair up, and got dressed. I wore all black to accentuate my morning and appreciated the morning's clouds and rain as accompaniment to my mood. Elodie was still asleep on the couch when I went into the kitchen. I was going to eat a bowl of cereal and make a pot of coffee with the little bit of time I had before work, but I didn't want to wake her up. Instead, I opened my back door and took a breath, letting the humid air fill my lungs. I closed my eyes and listened only to the rain, letting my thoughts float away with the clouds, until my phone alarm started to vibrate in my uniform pocket. Everything would be fine. Time for work had come. Yay! I had left my umbrella leaning against the dryer. I grabbed it and, holding the back door ajar, I tempted fate by opening the umbrella inside the kitchen. Bad luck, but who gives a fuck? At this point, why did that matter? Things couldn't possibly get worse for me. I rolled my eyes at how dramatic I was being and walked out the door. I thought of Kale when I looked at the lock, and damn it all to hell, I locked the door. I walked around the side of my house and halfway across the yard before something caught my eye. Kale's truck was parked in the street in front of my house. Is he really here again? Maybe he had parked and gone somewhere. Or was he waiting there for someone? I couldn't tell and thought for a moment to just keep walking past, as if I didn't notice. The rain felt like it picked up as I passed his truck at a safe distance. I could barely see him through the rain falling on the glass, but could make out the same gray sweatshirt he was wearing when he came here last night. Did he stay the whole night? My view of his face was distorted by water running down the window, but I could see that his eyes were closed. I had no clue how long he had been there, sleeping in front of my house. My resolve to tell him to fuck off and never speak to me again was wavering, as I stared at his beautiful and calm face, nearly forgetting all of my feelings. I remembered this look from the nights we spent together. It made my chest ache. I wondered if he had slept okay. Ugh, for God's sake, Karina. The logical part of my brain crushed the romantic part as I turned away and rushed across the street. So what if he'd slept in his truck for one night? He was responsible for this massive hole in me, and I was supposed to forgive him just because he made himself uncomfortable for one night? I'd been miserable without him. Frankly, uncomfortable my entire life before him. So I hoped he slept like shit in his truck after all. Why should I feel bad for him? This was infuriating. The amount of empathy I had for him pissed me off. If only I could give myself the same grace that I tended to give other people. The street was empty except for my neighbor Bradley's truck. I took a few backward steps, scanning for Bradley as I crossed the street and moved into the alley. Water was suddenly squishing into my work shoes and was soaking me, but I really just didn't care. I looked back at Kale's truck through the rain. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was in there, and that was enough. I hated that for a moment I'd worried if he was cold inside his truck. Serves him right, I thought to myself, trying to let anger overpower the rest of my emotions. Immaturely, I lifted my middle finger into the air at him, and even though I knew he wouldn't see it, it still felt like a tiny, victorious act of aggression.
You need an umbrella? You're going to get sick out here like that!
Bradley's voice startled me, and I snapped my hand back down to my side. I have one, thanks, I yelled back to him. How mortifying if he saw me flip Kale off. I lifted my hands, realizing they both were bare. Sure enough, when I looked across the street, my umbrella was sitting opened on the pavement next to Kale's truck. Shit. I'm okay, I shouted through the pouring rain. No way in hell was I going to go back and get it now. Bradley's face showed concern, but he left it at that, yelling back a simple,
"If you say so,"
before he climbed into his truck. I practically ran to the back door of the spa. Thankfully, it wasn't locked. I was soaking wet, but hardly cared. I felt numb. Nothing really mattered. My mundane boy and daddy problems were nothing compared to the problems other people had. I knew that. We were all just living on a giant rock floating in the sky anyway. By the time I entered the building, I had pretty much shut down, and Molly greeted me with dry towels and a warm hug. She also gave me cotton slippers and put my socks and shoes near the dryer vents. Her small efforts were entrancing and comforting, and made me feel like I was in a bit of a daze. It was out of character for her to behave this way, and even more out of character for me to accept her gestures without complaining. It took me until late afternoon to find my usual professional rhythm at the salon. I was relieved that I didn't have any of my regular clients today. They would have noticed immediately that I was not myself. It was easier to get through the day with a wall around me. My guard was tested when I stepped into the reception area to find Molly with a scowl on her face, cussing under her breath. I searched around the lobby for the source of her anger and found my umbrella, dry, closed, and propped neatly against the glass window near the door. I turned around and made it back to my treatment room before I broke into tears. Life went on like that, both numb and excruciating for a stretch of days. I worked, I slept, I cried. I may have watched a couple of movies with Elodie. I can't remember any of their plots. I knew a Tuesday had passed because both my father and Estelle called me. I didn't bother to call them back, and ended up powering my phone off for a full 24 hours to see if I could get my life back on track without the distraction of the outside world. This is what my soul needed, to stop comparing my life to everyone else's online perfection. I needed to find my roots again and remember the life I was building for myself before I met Kale. My self-sufficient bubble. I wasn't made to fall for someone and then crash on the other side of it. I'm not sure when it was, how many days post-breakup, that I had come home from work to find Austin waiting for me on my porch. My brother was easy to spot from a distance. He was fidgeting, tapping his fingers against his knees. His face was blotchy red, and his blonde hair was a mess, making his features melt into something close to our father's. There were no cars in the driveway or parked on the street, so I couldn't figure out how he got there. "What's wrong? Are you okay?" I asked, mildly panicked, and sat down next to him. He shook his head. My brother's eyes were bloodshot and swollen like he hadn't slept in days. His lips were dry and cracking, with little slices of red along the bottom one. He was even more disheveled than usual. Yet what would make most people unattractive only added to the many things that women found endearing about him. He was dressed in a white sweatshirt with Riverdale High School printed above a pocket on the left side. Riverdale High School? "Is that Kale's shirt?" I tugged on his sleeve.
"Huh?"
Austin looked down at his sweatshirt and nodded. My entire body shifted. Kale somehow snuck himself into my house via my brother. There was hardly a place where I was safe from reminders of him. "Where did you get his shirt?"
"I was at his place and wore it."
Before I could respond, he began to speak.
"Let's not fight about him, Kay. I already got into it with Dad."
Austin dipped his head down between his knees. I didn't know what to say. I wanted more answers, but I could feel my brother's energy was depleted, and he, unlike me, had never been able to suffer in silence.
"To be honest, I'm tired of being back in Benning. I just want to go somewhere else. Not to Uncle Rudy's again, just somewhere else. Don't you ever feel like that?"
"Yeah," I said, and sighed. "But I bought a house here, so I couldn't go anywhere if I wanted to." Austin rolled his eyes.
"That's not an excuse. You know, in this market, you could sell and make more than you put into it."
"Since when are you savvy about the housing market?" I asked, playfully challenging his authority. "Where would you even go if you left? Austin was a nomad, where I was a settler."
"Arizona? Barcelona," he daydreamed.
"You can't even point to Barcelona on a map."
"Yeah, I can."
His light eyes were facing the sky, half opened.
"And Berlin? Rome? Anywhere. Hell, I'd go live in a van on the coast. I really can't stand being this close to Dad."
I agreed with him. But we were two totally different humans, even if we'd shared a womb. It was easy for him to abandon all logic. I just couldn't. "Do you even know where your passport is?" I asked.
"Yes, and yours. They're both at Dad's, in the drawer."
He gave me a sneaky look, like he had found the entrance to Narnia. "If only." I laughed. He leaned against me to reach his phone when it started to vibrate in the pocket of his joggers. A number that wasn't saved was on the screen. He seemed surprised and agitated, and he immediately ignored the call. When he looked up at me, he shifted uncomfortably. Something was up. I could read Austin like a book. "Who was that?" I asked, when he stopped my hand in midair as I tried to reach for his phone. "Was it Katie?" I rolled my eyes. Austin's face broke into a smile, and he shook his head. He almost looked relieved.
"No, God, no."
My mind wandered to being in my old bedroom at my dad's with Kale, the first night I met Katie, and embarrassed myself insulting her, which seemed so trivial now. After the fight, Kale's run-in with the MPs and everything that's happened, I was relieved to hear that Austin had moved on from that chaotic woman. I was brought back to reality with Austin's leg shaking the way it did whenever he was nervous. I was getting cooler outside, and I wanted to go in. "Do you want to stay here for a little bit?" I looked at Austin, and for a second, I could see our mom in him. Something around the eyes, about the shape of his mouth. We'd always be a mashup of our parents, and that horrified me.
"No."
He sighed.
"I don't know. I need to figure my shit out. I can't do that from your couch.
It's cheaper than Barcelona, and besides, how the hell would you even pay for a trip like that?" I joked.
"Actually, I was thinking about staying with Martin.
His words punched me. A sucker punch. Martin? I was going to make him say his name.
Kale.
Since when are you two friends like that? You're wearing his clothes and now moving in with him? I couldn't even hide the hurt in my voice.
I don't know, a week or so?
He laughed. I couldn't breathe.
He's been at Mendoza's a lot. Plus, Elodie is already sleeping on your couch. There's no room for me here.
Elodie can sleep in my bed.
Martin has an extra bedroom, and I sort of already took my stuff there.
Seriously? I couldn't believe him.
Look, I know something happened between you two, and I know how it blew up with Dad, and that's all I know. You know Dad is a fucking bold-faced liar, so don't let him get in your head. Once he's in, he won't get out.
He looked me straight in the eyes, daring me to be honest. That was a dare I wouldn't take.
So unless there's more to it, or Martin did something to you that I don't know about, I don't see the problem with me crashing with him. He's the only one outside of Mendoza who just chills at home and doesn't bring girls around every night. He doesn't get in trouble. He's being really good to me, Care.
I wanted to throw up. I was relieved and devastated. It was a wretched combination. I'm not saying not to be friends with him. I let out a breath of frustration. I couldn't think of a valid reason to tell Austin not to stay with Kale unless I wanted to tell him how Kale made me feel.
If you don't want me to, say it. Just know that I can't stay at Dad's anymore, Care. I can't do it.
I nodded. I understood needing to get away from our dad. Austin should stay at Care's house, Martin's house.
Dad's calling me again.
Austin sighed, changing the subject, looking at his phone.
He's so suffocating.
Are you going to answer?
No.
A car drove by, and a little boy in the back seat waved at us. Austin waved back, even smiling for the child.
I got a job too,
Austin told me a minute or so later. The sun was going down, and the sky was changing colors around us. Really? I pepped up for him. That's great news. I meant it. He hadn't had a job since he got fired from Kmart for calling out too much. I wasn't sure what job could possibly hold my brother, but I was happy he had one. Where is it? He hesitated.
It's with Martin. He's flipping that duplex he lives in, you know? He's really fucking smart, man. He's paying me and Lawson to help him. I'm going to get more hours in than everyone else since they all have to work during the week. It's just like tearing up carpet, shit like that. And Care, I got myself honest work without having to join the army. No breaking our treaty, he said with a teasing smile.
Not funny. I playfully pinched his arm. I really didn't know what to say, but I felt the ice inside my chest melt a little as I thought of Kale and how much he had helped my brother. I had to remind myself why I needed to keep Kale distant. He was moving to Atlanta, bought a house and hadn't mentioned it. Not even once. I wondered if Austin knew about that. Has he told you about Atlanta?
Yeah, and I was the one who told Dad about it. Which is what caused this whole thing with you and Dad, I guess. Even though Martin took the blame for me with that shit with Katie, Dad still has some grudge against him. It's fucked up.
What do you mean, he took the blame? Austin sighed and ran his fingers over his hair. His blue eyes were bright, even though they were bloodshot.
He took all the blame, didn't even mention my name to anyone, and probably jeopardized his discharge.
As the words sank in, I couldn't help but shift my perspective on Kale. Why was he being kind to Austin? Was it for me? I shook my head, answering my own question. This was Kale, the kind of person he was, or is. He's a good person, despite his lies. And I had to recognize that everything wasn't about me. I knew deep down that he was truly a good person. He just wasn't my person, and I'd have to come to terms with that. Kale and Dad have more of a history than we know, I told Austin, reminding myself of why I couldn't see Kale anymore. My brother looked at me with a confused but sarcastic expression.
Well, they all deployed together, you know that. They're in the same company.
Austin shrugged as though he were telling me the score of a football game, like I gave a shit. You knew that? I asked. He nodded, sticking his neck out and hunching his shoulders as if to say, duh.
How else would I know these guys?
Austin studied my face, and after a second, his eyes widened.
You didn't know that?
I shook my head. No, but I guess it makes sense. It was all starting to make sense, but once again, I was the last to know. Why hadn't anyone told me?
My fight with Dad was about me working with Martin. You know, Dad hates anyone who challenges him, and that's what Martin does. It's almost like Dad's intimidated by him.
I looked up at the setting sun, staring at it long enough to see stars behind my lids when I closed them. I needed to be happy for my brother, even if he was intertwining his life with the one person I was trying to detangle mine from.
You two are a lot alike, you know that?
He said, a smile on his face. You better not be talking about Dad. He laughed.
Martin.
I shook my head. That's so not true.
Whatever you say, Care.
He lay back on the porch and closed his eyes. Anyway, enough about Kale. I'm happy you have a job regardless of how I feel about your boss. I leaned back on my elbows and scooched next to Austin, resting my head close to his. We were almost kids again.
Thanks,
he said.
I won't bring him around if you don't want me to, but he's really helping me out.
I didn't know what I wanted when it came to Kale. I stared at the sky, begging for the stars to come out and play. I wanted to know that I could count on them to help me find my way. I wanted to be certain of something.
Or we could all hang out, unless that's too awkward for you.
Austin's suggestion was jarring, and my defenses kicked in. It's fine, I'm seeing someone anyway. The words slid from my tongue, as devious as the lie itself.
You are?
He asked. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I wasn't a good liar, so I didn't want any questions.
Okay, seems a bit random, but sure.
He nodded, seeing right through me, even with his eyes shut.
It would have been totally out of character to have another guy lined up already, but it was even stranger for me to lie about the whole thing when I knew damn well Austin could sense when I wasn't telling the truth. So you won't be mad that he's picking me up here like any minute?
He said the words fast, as if it would change their meaning. Austin, I whined his name, twisted it around my tongue. Fine, I'm going inside. You really need to get a car.
I will, now that I have a job.
He beamed, easing my pain a little. I heard the roar of Kale's truck without seeing it. My body didn't react at the same lightning speed as my mind. I needed to force myself to go inside the house before he turned onto my street. I wanted to avoid another run-in. I wasn't ready to face him, especially after hearing the kind things he was doing for my brother. I needed time, a long time, before I had to see Kale again. He was out of the truck and walking up the grass before I had moved even an inch. A faded baseball cap covered his eyes, matching his all-gray outfit, a hoodie and matching joggers. His white sneakers were too clean for this shitty weather, even though the sun decided to come out for the first time in days. Maybe I should have taken that as a warning.
Karina.
Kale's voice was punishment wrapped in silk. I couldn't speak through the lump in my throat. My tongue felt so heavy. I looked at him but didn't verbally acknowledge his greeting. He seemed the same, unaffected, and it surprised me. He didn't look miserable, and that pissed me off. It was a short time, but it felt like forever since I had touched him. It didn't seem possible. My body was a traitor, recalling his warmth as he stood in the yard. I hated that I immediately noticed how good he looked. I wondered if he noticed my hair color, or cared. My brother stood up, blocking my view of Kale for a second. Just what I needed to help me snap out of it. See you later, I said to Austin, as casually as I could manage without acknowledging Kale. I stood up, stepped to the screen door, and grabbed its handle without looking back to see Kale's expression. I deserved an Academy Award. Once inside, I turned the lock on the door. I pressed my body against the cool wood. It was an attempt to stabilize myself, to keep myself upright. It didn't work well, but I got to my room and slammed the door. I crawled into my bed and wrapped my comforter around my body to hide like I had done my whole life when things were bad. That's where I stayed until Elodie came home from her doctor's appointment after work. The sun was down, my room black as night, and when she found me hiding from the world, she climbed into my bed. She lay next to me, both of us on our backs, looking up at the ceiling. She turned the flashlight on her phone and shined it upward. Elodie held a picture of her sonogram from her appointment in the beam of light. It was in black and white, and seemed to make her so happy that her hands were shaking as we both admired it. Her little avocado was now the length of a banana. She was so thrilled that she began to cry, and I joined my tears with hers. Even though we were crying for extremely different reasons, it felt so nice to have her inside my lonely bubble of life. Chapter 64. Over the next week, it was hard to dodge my many thoughts about Cale. Austin sent me update pictures of the interior of the empty side of Cale's duplex at least once a day, and the look of pride on his face made my soul happy. I'd never admit it, but I was starting to look forward to the pictures, sometimes even allowing myself to hope Cale would be in the background of one. I had gone through the motions of another week, and skipped Tuesday dinner again, which raised questions about birthday festivities for Austin and me. A celebration orchestrated by Estelle was the last thing I wanted. I wasn't going to mention my upcoming birthday to anyone and hoped Austin would take a similar approach, or at least not try to involve me in whatever plans he was making. Each time I sat on my porch after a shift, I wished for the sound of Cale's truck to rumble onto my street. The sun and the moon changed places again and again, day after day, and I checked my phone too often, hoping for a word from him, but nothing came. I had told him to leave me alone, so what did I expect? I wondered if I should text or call him, but I couldn't lose the last little bit of pride I had by reaching out first. It wasn't that I was playing hard to get. I just didn't know what the hell to say, even if I did. Was he already tired of chasing me? Did I want him to chase me? No, I answered my own question. I wanted him to find me and keep me. That was the problem. Life was just complicated now. I was booked to work most of the day and evening. I welcomed the distraction and the sriracha noodles that Molly brought for me and Elodie. Elodie kept hiccuping, claiming the noodles weren't too spicy as her nose ran and her eyes watered. After her shift, she was going to an FRG meeting and a weekend cookout. I was glad that she was keeping busy lately, especially since she wasn't hearing from Philip enough. The first appointment of my shift was Stuart, and I was so relieved to find her already checked in by Molly and lying face down, asleep, on the treatment bed when I entered the room. Without having to make conversation, my thoughts roamed back to Cale. What was he doing right now? How was his discharge going? Or did he lose it because of the incident with my brother? The thought made me feel sick. My workday progressed uneventfully, but my mind was doing laps, trying to solve the puzzle of my confusion over Cale. I went through the list of pros and cons, what was right and what was wrong about him, and only felt more indecisive. Maybe there was more to the story than I allowed Cale to explain. I considered texting him to see if he was busy, to see if he still wanted a chance to explain himself, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. I had 3 appointments left, and after giving the first 2 clients their treatments, I typed a text to Cale and deleted it. Typed and deleted again, then tossed my phone into the drawer where I kept the dry towels. After the last client, I retrieved the phone from the drawer and typed the text to Cale again. Something simple and not desperate, I reminded myself. I just wanted to know if he was really going to lose his discharge. That was it. Mostly. Hey, do you want to come over after work today? I get off in an hour, no pressure. Before I could stop myself again, I sent it, and before I could hide my phone, the little typing bubbles on Cale's side appeared. I held my breath, and they disappeared. I waited a few more seconds, and nothing came. Great, now I look even more like an idiot. I shouldn't have texted him. I definitely, certainly, surely, truly shouldn't have fucking texted him. Even if he was nice to my brother. I was so glad this long day of work was finally ending. Other than my scheduled appointments, the salon had been slow all day. I was the only one with evening clients, and I agreed to close up. There were no more clients on the schedule sheet, and I doubted anyone would be walking past the mostly closed stores within the next 20 minutes, so I straightened up my room for the night and got stuff ready for the morning. The cleaning company had been in the prior evening, and everything was in pretty good shape. I just had to organize a few things and make sure all the candles were out and clean towels were stocked. I turned the lights off one by one before locking the back door, padlock two, and shutting off the front desk light. When I saw a shadow approach the entrance, I practically jumped out of my skin. I think I may have screamed a little too. I stood still, trying to catch my breath and slow my heart rate. The shadow moved closer into view, and that's when I saw that it was a man, a young one, but not a boy. Maybe a soldier, given the haircut. It was a little late for someone to just pass by, and I didn't recognize him, which made me uneasy. I had been alone in the spa at night only a few times, and it was always fine, but for some reason, this man gave me the chills. He tugged at the door, and I stepped into view, flicking the reception area lamp back on. I turned the flashlight off on my phone and kept a little distance from the door. "Hey, sorry, are you closed?" he mouthed through the glass door. His voice was friendly enough. "Yeah, we are." "Oh, sorry. I think I did something to my back during PT and was hoping you guys would still be open. Do you know anywhere else around here that's open late?" He seemed legit, friendly enough, and I immediately felt guilty for the way my imagination had instantly conjured up the worst-case scenario. I had a rough week and was obviously still a little wonky. I smiled at him to make myself feel better about branding him as a serial killer. I wasn't going to stay for another hour. Even though we really did need the business, and Lord knows I really needed the money. Instead, I opened the door slightly and proposed a compromise. "I don't think anyone is going to be open past 9, but if you want to come in first thing in the morning, I could be here extra early," I offered. I wasn't just saying it to get the business. Nothing except Walmart and fast food joints were open late in this town.
"I think I can get out of PT in the morning. Can I come in and put my name down?"
"Sure." The man stepped inside and looked into my eyes. It was a little off-putting, but honest, too, in a strange sort of way. He followed me to the desk, and I grabbed the paper version of the schedule since I had already shut the computer down. I looked at my day tomorrow. "I have a 10 o'clock opening and a 12, but I could come in at 9 or 8:30 for you since you came all this way tonight," I told him.
"Let's do 8:30 so it will be extra quiet in here."
He turned to look at the hours of operation painted on the front door in clear, white letters. "Okay," I swallowed. "8:30 it is. Can I have your name, please?"
"Nielsen," he told me.
I wrote it down. It sounded familiar, but I knew I had never seen his face before. I knew faces.
"Are you, you know, going to give me that kind of massage?"
His voice crawled over me like tiny little spiders. My stomach dropped. "What did you just say?" I snapped. I looked at the camera again, this time in a really obvious way. This time, he noticed. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to run. But I reached deep for my courage and held my ground. "I'm going to have to ask you to leave," I said, as firmly as possible. Then I reached for the landline and lifted it halfway to my ear. He gestured in mock surrender, smirking. I thought I saw a flash of metal in the back of his jaw when he laughed.
"I'm joking. Sorry. Bad joke. Sorry, sorry."
He held his hands up.
"No harm done."
I stared at him silently, not lowering the phone, and hoping he couldn't see my hand shaking or the way my knuckles were stretched and white, holding onto the phone as tightly as I could. It had been a while since someone made an offensive comment like that, and I didn't find it funny at all. After the longest few seconds of my life, he retreated, walking backward, keeping his eyes on me as he moved toward the front door. Those icy blue eyes and taut pale skin were much more threatening now that he had been so inappropriate. Just before he backed out of the door, the man smiled again, like he had a thought pop into his head.
"You're Fisher's daughter, right?"
An alarm sounded in my head. Who was this guy?
"What?"
I managed. The bell on the door chimed when he leaned his back against the doorframe.
You look just like him.
I was stunned into silence. My heart was pounding out of my chest. Please, please leave, I silently begged him. He turned around and hovered in the doorway. And in that moment, just as the door was slowly pulling closed, Cale appeared on the sidewalk. I thought I was going to pass out at the sight of him there. Cale was illuminated under the streetlights. I wasn't alone anymore.
Martin?
The man knew Cale's name. I don't know why this web just kept surprising me. Cale's eyes searched my face.
Are you okay?
He asked me, as he walked directly toward me, ignoring the man. I nodded, confused, but felt my heart slow. The effect Cale had on me hadn't diminished one bit. It was such a relief to have him here. Not only because of what had just happened, but because I wanted to see him. I knew I wanted to see him. I felt the air disappear from my lungs. They burned and my heart sped as I looked at him. His eyes took me in slowly before they darted around the lobby and he stepped inside. The man, Nielsen, had taken off by the time I looked past Cale a moment later. What are you doing here? I asked him. He was dressed in all black, except for his typical stark white sneakers. His hair was freshly buzzed, and he was undeniably handsome, as always.
You texted me. Did you not want me to come?
He took a step toward me. I scoffed. You didn't reply. I pulled my phone out of my pocket and checked again. Nothing. I held the phone up to show him the blank screen. Just my wallpaper of a sunset was there. He shrugged his broad shoulders and looked into my eyes.
I came. Why?
I was getting emotional already. I tried to reel it in and give him a moment to speak. Cale's expression softened, and he shook his head slowly. I wished I could read his mind.
I'm sorry, I should have responded to your text. If you want me to go...
I held my hand up. No, I don't want you to go, I admitted. The corner of his full lips twitched and pulled into a half smile.
Good.
I laughed, surprising myself. God, it felt so good to be near him. I grabbed my purse and walked toward him. I wanted to hug him. I wanted to hold on to him. I wanted to yell at him and laugh with him. I wanted to cry and scream and giggle and sit in silence. I didn't have a fucking clue what I wanted. I didn't know what to say to Cale or what the first step should be. He seemed to sense my hesitation as he pushed the door open.
Shall we?
He waved his hand for me to go first. I followed him outside and locked the shop door, forgetting about everything and everyone except Cale Martin. Chapter 65. Cale opened the door and I climbed into his truck. The familiar smell of him saturated my senses. My nerves were unwinding second by second. I tried not to think about how much was left unresolved between us, or how much I wanted to know what was going to happen next. I didn't know what the hell to say or do, so I just sat there, leaning my back against the seat, trying to gather my thoughts. Kings of Leon's first album was playing low through the speakers. I rolled down the passenger window to get some air. It smelled a little like fresh rain and earthworms. It helped calm me. The wind blowing, Cale driving, the loud thrum of the engine in this beast of a truck. It all helped calm me.
Are you hot?
Cale's voice was smooth as he put his seatbelt on. No, I'm okay. He smiled at me, and I had to look away. I hated that my guard was slipping, and slipping fast, but I felt a burst of relief when he looked at me, head tilted and lips parted. His eyes stayed on me. I could feel them, but didn't meet them. What? I asked him, tucking my chin to my shoulder to hide my mouth.
It feels good to breathe again.
He responded, and as I turned to look at him, his eyes were locked onto mine. I didn't know how I could look away. You can't just say something like that, I teased him softly.
I thought you wanted answers from me.
I stared out the window as he continued to drive. I do. Silence passed between us as he turned onto the main street, heading the opposite way from my house. I didn't ask where we were going.
Where do you want me to start?
His voice was so calming, so deep and comforting, even in this raw and uncertain moment. Well, how many lies were there? Kale sighed, and the turn signal dinged as he waited at a red light. His eyes were on the road in front of us.
I didn't tell you about knowing your dad because when I went there that first week, I had no fucking idea that he was your dad, honest to God, Karina. I didn't know before we walked in. I didn't know anything about you. Yeah, I knew he had twins, but I didn't know you or your brother. I thought you were just Elodie's friend.
Kale's words gave me a hint of reassurance, but didn't address why he had stayed silent about it for days and weeks after. You've had plenty of time to talk to me and tell me what happened with my dad, but you never did. His jaw clenched, but his voice came out even.
At first I didn't tell you because you seemed so kind, and my history with your dad was really complicated. It seemed easier not to get into all of that. Then we kept hanging out, and then I started to...
He stopped as a flash of light illuminated the windshield. He had swerved into another lane. A horn blared as Kale jerked the wheel to straighten the car, and I caught my breath.
Fuck, sorry.
Kale was looking straight ahead, his hands strangling the steering wheel.
Are you okay?
He asked. His chest was moving up and down like he was bursting with adrenaline and fear. Let's just pull over here. I pointed to a Dollar Tree across the intersection. He parked the car, but kept the ignition on. He switched the music off and turned his body to me.
Are you okay?
He repeated. I nodded and he sighed, blowing air out of puckered lips. We sat under the dim parking lot light and looked at each other, barely blinking, before I spoke, breaking the silence. Atlanta? Were you really not going to tell me that you bought a house there? You made me look like such an idiot in front of my dad, and you know how shitty that was for me.
I just closed on the property, literally the day your dad came to your house. I don't know how he even knew that, but I had every intention of telling you that day. I came hoping to celebrate with you, actually. Hell, I even thought about trying to convince you to go with me. The house is in bad shape. It'll take me at least a year to get it ready to live in or sell.
Okay, was all I could come up with. Deep down, I really believed that he was telling the truth. I didn't know why, but I just had a gut feeling that he wasn't lying to me. Not about Atlanta, at least. I took a deep breath, but kept eye contact. Okay, so even if that's all true, what about my dad? And Mendoza?
Mendoza is another story for a different day, but just try to put yourself in my shoes, knowing that my friend is deteriorating in front of my eyes, and so fucking quickly. I wasn't trying to keep it from you, but I've been really focused on helping him get by. Bringing other people into his shit would only make things harder for him. We're all fighting the same battle with PTSD, but he's losing, so I tried to keep everything and everyone around him as normal as possible, to help him feel less crazy.
His eyes left mine and stared at the seat between us. My heart ached and swelled. It wasn't my place to force Kale to tell me about Mendoza's mental health. I felt like shit for even attempting to use that against him when this was really about my dad and the house in Atlanta. Okay, I repeated. And what about my dad? You're telling me there wasn't ever a time to tell me from that first day until now?
No, there was. And honestly, I'm sorry that I'm such a selfish person.
He rubbed his hand across his chin and pulled at his lips.
I was selfish. That's it. I knew you wouldn't want anything to do with me if your dad told you, which I figured he would. So I just kept taking more and more of your time. Karina, I have felt nothing for so long. I started to think I wasn't capable of caring about anyone this way, so I got addicted to this feeling.
What feeling? His hand was warm when he lifted it to gently grab mine. He pressed them both to his chest, and I felt his heart pounding.
I'm not even sure what it is. It just feels so good. And I'm a selfish fuck who wanted to keep getting this feeling from you before I left. I didn't mean to hurt you. I really, really didn't. I waited each day like a madman for the other shoe to drop, for you to find out that I lied about knowing your dad, but each time I saw you, everything disappeared except you and me. I know this isn't enough, and I won't ever be enough for you, but I just wanted to explain myself and apologize for not doing it earlier.
He dropped our hands, but I grabbed his again. My eyes were stinging and my head was foggy, and I didn't know up from down, but I knew I wanted to hold his hand. I moved toward him, closing the space between us. A pile of papers and a book bag were in the way, but I pushed them toward the door as Kale held my hand, firmly.
I'm really sorry, honestly, and I get it if you just want me to go away.
He rounded his shoulders, deflated, and I had the strongest urge to comfort him. He was so close now that I could smell the faint, earthy cologne he used, and I could feel the warmth radiating from him. I ignored the storm of doubts left in my head, stepped over any remnants of red flags, and pulled my hand from his to bring it to his cheek. His skin was so soft, so beautiful and familiar. I felt warm and glowing from the inside out and couldn't think of how to say that to him. I used my body instead of words to show him we would be okay. I climbed onto Kale's lap and he groaned as I wrapped my arms around his back. The sharp fear of rejection disappeared as he dug his hands into my hair. I could feel the relief flowing from both of us so intensely that I thought we would shake the truck. His hands held onto my hips, roaming around the tops of my thighs without a word between us. Somehow this would work out. We were supposed to be together. If we weren't, it wouldn't feel this good. We wouldn't be able to communicate like this, without saying a word. The connection wouldn't feel this intense and electrifying if we couldn't figure it all out. I refused to believe the universe was that cruel. I brushed my thumb across his cheek, just below his eye. I don't want you to go away ever again, I whispered, as his eyes fluttered open to look into mine.
Are you sure? I'm trying to warn you, he said.
He brushed a piece of my hair out of my face and tucked it behind my ear.
I like your hair, by the way.
His voice was a whisper by the end of the sentence, and my hands were shaking as they trailed over his bottom lip, and he made a noise again, encouraging me. I pressed my lips to his, letting all my guard down now, letting all the pain rush out of me, all the anxiety, the loneliness. It all melted out of me as he kissed me. His hand went around the back of my neck, and his lips opened mine wider to taste more of me. I never, ever wanted to be away from this man again, no matter how many coincidences and unanswered questions surrounded him, no matter what demons he was running from or chasing. I couldn't lose this. Not again. I hugged him tighter, and he said sorry between kissing me and pressing his hands to my cheeks, and I shushed him, begging him to take me home. He didn't stop kissing me, exploring me. I was completely melted by his warm hands and mouth.
Okay,
he eventually said, kissing my forehead.
Let's go home.
The way he said home made me feel so comforted. I had always thought of home as a place, but it's a feeling, I decided in that moment. I stayed as close to Kale as I could during the short drive to my house. We turned onto my street, and he drove more slowly before pulling up to his usual spot. I felt a mix of nerves and elation, and a rush to get inside with him. I missed having him in my house, and I think he knew that. He gave me a shy smile and courteously picked up my handbag to move it out of my way. In my rush to climb out of the passenger door, I knocked the thick packet of papers to the floorboard. Sorry I dropped these, I hope I didn't mess them up, I said as I stacked them neatly. Is this for your discharge? There was an army folder on top with the typical army star. Kale stilled next to me. I felt the shift in the air around us as I realized what the packet said. Whose enlistment packet is this? Being nosy and not thinking anything of it, I started to open the folder. That's when Kale reached over, trying to grab it from me. Who's signing their life away? I teased as his eyes fell to the paperwork in my hands. And then I read the name on the first page. Austin Tyler Fisher. Chapter 66. Now it was Kale's turn to call my name. Kale's turn to bring me back to Earth.
Karina,
he said.
Listen to me, Karina, there's an explanation. His words were gibberish. I could make out my name, but that was it. I could barely feel my body. The truck was parked on solid ground, but felt like it was dangling over the edge of a cliff. What is this, Kale? I managed at last. When he didn't answer me, I screamed. What is this? What the hell is this? I slammed the folder down onto the seat's empty space between us. Do not move any closer to me until you tell me what this is and why it has my brother's name on it. I was every emotion. Fear, anger, disgust, contempt. Had Austin really joined the army? No fucking way that was what this was. I must be missing something. Kale stared at me blankly. I could see him doing it again, closing himself off like he did during the fight with my dad. Don't you dare shut down. I want answers, I insisted. Austin. I dug in my purse for my phone and, finding it, searched the screen to pull up his name. My head was spinning so fast that everything was blurry when I tried to call him. Of course he didn't pick up. This can't be true, Kale. Didn't you just give him a job? You... I could barely get the words out. You convinced him to enlist, didn't you? I spat at Kale as I yanked and pushed the door of the truck open and stepped outside. I coughed, my lungs failing me as the world around us spun. Oh my God! It sank in. You did this because of my dad. Oh my God! I held on to the door of the truck and Kale ran around to my side, but kept himself at a safe distance.
This doesn't have anything to do with your dad. This was me helping your brother with his future. I did this because he needs to stop fucking up his life. His words, not mine.
I wanted to scream at Kale. He was a marble statue. Beautiful, but cold. You knew how I felt about Austin and the army and the agreement we had that he would never enlist. You knew how much it would hurt me and you still did it. Oh my God, I'm such a fucking idiot. I glared at him. You're so fucked up.
I put my head in my hands to not have to look him in the face. It wasn't worth trying to rationalize. People, some of them, hurt others as a way of masking their own pain, but some people just hurt other people simply to do it. I didn't need to know anything else about Kale to know that he must be one of these people. All of the helping Austin bullshit, all of the hours we spent, and secrets we shared, it was all fake. I wrapped my arms around myself. I was going to be sick. Kale had the nerve to reach for me and I jerked away, moving from the street to the patch of grass next to the sidewalk in front of my house. I felt unstable in all forms of the word. My body and mind were no longer connecting. Even though I couldn't speak, I kept backing away, nearly tripping on the edge of the sidewalk.
Karina, please,
Kale pleaded. I held my hand up, silently begging him to stop.
Get away from me.
Tears soaked my face, and I brushed aside strands of hair stuck to my wet cheeks.
Go! I screamed, not caring that it was dark out or that I would be alone on the side of the road. I just wanted to be as far away from him as humanly possible. And of course, because the universe hated me, the moment my shoes touched the ground and I yelled at him again to drive away, the sky started to cry with me, covering me with thick tears of rain from head to toe. I collapsed in the grass after he pulled away, and stayed there until the moon glared at me to go to my own bed and leave hers. There were no stars to dry my tears.
This concludes the reading of The Falling, a Brightest Stars novel by Anna Todd. Copyright 2022 by Frayed Pages, Inc. This book was read by Lauren Ezzo. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement between Frayed Pages, Inc. and Bookcase Literary Agency, and was produced in 2022 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.